move birds.
Watch that glassware. Uh-oh. I'm going to get out of here. That's all right. No. It's okay. They'll be gone in a minute. I'm going to scare the birds here. Let's go down and see if there's any deposit money to be collected. I'll tell you what. Let's do that. And, we just really have to wind, kind of warm up a little bit here. Ready? Here we go. And a one. And a two. Let's hit the highway. Hey, that's a jam. Freeway jam. We have freeways here in the Midwest. They call them expressways, but they call them freeways, as you probably know. Jeff Beck, one of the seminal jazz rock guitarists, and just an interesting guy and great music, having a birthday today. Thought we'd spotlight that. And also Solange has a birthday, someone who I am trying to hear more about. I like her music, and we'll do that. I used to do this featured artist idea on an old radio station that I worked at. Today, there you go. Our featured artists are Jeff Beck and Solange at 6 after the hour. And welcome. It's Wednesday. We're halfway there for the 24th of June. And today we're going to hit fireworks. That's the theme today. I will not be playing any sound effects because I could simply open up the window of the studio at certain times and you'd hear plenty of popping and stuff. So we're going to talk about that. Fireworks is how about the good and bad of fireworks? We'll get into that today. So that coming up, and let's hit some news. There's some pretty good news here on the political front. Let me get to that in a second. On the other side, officials are seeing a disturbing surge of coronavirus infections in some parts of the country. This is according to Dr. Anthony Fauci yesterday. He told Congress that the next couple of weeks will be critical for addressing recent outbreaks. Meanwhile, CDC Director Robert Redfield said the pandemic, quote, has brought this nation to its knees. That is the quote that you're going to see today. A former prosecutor in the Roger Stone case, and this is, I'll divert for a minute. Roger Stone, not on your radar. Of all the people that you can name who created this thing that we call President Trump, that was Roger Stone. He was the kingmaker and the advisor and the guy who created the current fantasy. Anyway, well, of course, what happened to Stone? Well, he was indicted and he's in trial, and turns out that the Justice Department was going to recommend a lighter sentence for him, the longtime Trump advisor. Aaron Zelensky is going to appear at a hearing today on Attorney General William Barr's leadership at the DOJ. The jig may be up. So anyway, Roger Stone, the original Trumpsy, and we're going to get to that. So early takeaways from yesterday's primaries. In Kentucky, they are on track to beat records for voter turnout after increasing access to vote by mail. That's right. Unresolved. Kentucky, of course, the seat of Mitch McConnell, and there's a primary to come up with a Democratic challenger. But anyway, that was the hot issue down there. And get this, in North Carolina, a 24-year-old beat Trump's pick for the nomination for a GOP House seat. There you go. Louisville police officer fired for his role in killing Breonna Taylor, 26-year-old black woman who was shot by officers in her apartment after they entered with a no-knock warrant. Brett Hackison's termination comes more than 3 months after her death. You wonder why we are trying to resolve some of this stuff. 3 months. 3 months. How about that? All right, here's that quick story. A 24-year-old motivational speaker has defeated the Republican candidate endorsed by President Donald Trump and White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows in a GOP runoff for Meadows' old congressional seat. This is unofficial, but I'm going to guess that it's going to become official. Madison Cawthorn, Cawthorn, defeated Linda Bennett in North Carolina's 11th congressional district. That's in the far western part of the state. He won 65.8% of the vote in a race with Bennett, only clocked 34. Cawthorn will then face Democrat Mo Davis in November's general election. If elected, Cawthorn, who turns 25 before the election, would be the youngest member in the House. This, again, a little convoluted. This is a young Republican ran against the designated Republican from the Trumpsies. And if he's elected, he will face Mo Davis, as I said. Would be the youngest member of the House, I think, except for AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, I think is the current one. So, yeah, interesting stuff there. I should have grabbed, oh, just a second here. I just dropped the one thing that I wanted to tell you about. An enormous poll yesterday. Let me see if I can grab this. An enormous poll showing Biden well ahead of President Orange here. So we're going to get to that. Just a good news front on that one. And the FBI, I should slip this in, but this is not unimportant. We reported a couple of days ago that Bubba Wallace, who is the senior prominent African-American stock car driver in the NASCAR world, that a noose was found in the area where they do their, you know, preparation, the pit, not the pit, but the garage, at the Talladega Speedway. Turns out that noose was there before. It was not aimed at Bubba Wallace. So good news and bad news, it's still a noose, but it was not targeting him. This, according to the FBI, they found that it looked, based on what I'm seeing, it looked like somebody kind of, it was like a thing hanging from, a garage door or something like that. They made it into a noose. So a horrible thing, of course, but, I'd rather have that going on than the idea that Mr. Wallace was targeted. All right, here we go at 12 after the hour here. Joseph R. Biden Jr. has taken a commanding lead over President Trump in the 2020 race, building a wide advantage among women and non-white voters, and making deep inroads with some traditionally Republican-leaning groups that have shifted away from Mr. Trump following his ineffective response to the coronavirus pandemic. I'm reading from the New York Times. And they did a poll. This is a new poll of registered voters, New York Times and Siena College. Biden currently ahead of Mr. Trump by 14 percentage points. Birds, 14. They got it. 14 percentage points, garnering 50% of the vote compared with 36% for Mr. Trump. That is among the most dismal showings of President Orange Hair's presidency and a sign that he is the clear underdog right now, woof, in his fight for a second term. Trump, we should remember, I'm quoting here, but I'll give you a background. Mr. Trump has been unpopular president for virtually his entire time in office. We should recall, since they have been doing polling, they have never had a president who never exceeded a 51% approval rating, which he never has. He has never had a majority of the country behind him in all this time. Mr. Trump has been unpopular for the entire time, and he's made a few efforts since his election in 2016 to broaden his support. So there you go. The proof is in the old pudding there. Among a striking cross-section of voters, the distaste for distaste. I gotta get that taste out of my mouth. The distaste for Mr. Trump has deepened as his administration failed to stop a deadly disease that has crippled the economy, and then as he responded to a wave of racial justice protests with bluster and militaristic threats. The dominant picture that emerges from the poll is of a country ready to reject a president whom a strong majority of voters regard as failing the greatest tests confronting his administration. That's right. Mr. Biden leads Trump by enormous margins with black and Hispanic voters, with women and young people. They appear to be on track to choose Mr. Biden, but even a wider margin than they favored Hillary Clinton back in 2016. The former vice president has also drawn even with Mr. Trump among male voters. That's news. Among male voters, whites, and people in middle age and older, groups that have typically been the backbones of Republican electoral success. Old white men. That's right. Apparently, that predictable coalition is slipping here. And a quick one here. I'm going to give you two quick stories. I'm going to do some music, and then we're going to do something of local interest here. I'm going to finish up this real quick. It mentions a couple of people here. One of the paragraphs, a woman whose name is Arlene Miles, 75 years old, of Denver. She said that she'd been a Republican for nearly six decades before switching her registration to independent earlier this year during Mr. Trump's impeachment trial. So, again, she didn't go Democrat, but... Ms. Miles said that even when Trump was first elected, she had resolved to, quote, give him a chance, but had since concluded that he and his party were irredeemable. Now, I told this story the other day on the air. I recall when President Nixon, was literally getting on Marine One, the helicopter, to leave office. There were crowds outside the White House saying, oh, fairness to the president, give him, blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, they just let it go. Ms. Miles says, I was one of the people who stuck by Nixon until he was waving goodbye. I thought I was a good Republican, and I thought that they had my values, but they have gone down the tubes these last few years. So, Ms. Miles, we welcome you. I hope to at least sanity there. She said that she planned to vote for Biden, expressing only one misgiving. I wish he were younger. Don't we all? And then finally, and I'm going to grab, boy, I've got paper all over the thing here. Tom Diamond, all right, 31 years old, a Republican in Fort Worth, Texas, said he planned to vote for Mr. Trump, but would do so with real misgivings. He called the president a poor leader who had mishandled the pandemic and said Mr. Biden, quote, seemed like a guy you can trust. Well, Tom, why are you not voting against this guy? But definitely from a policy perspective, that's where my vote is going to go, toward the Republicans. Because Trump held down his own views on the economy and on health care and on abortion. So anyway, that's the deal. I mean, even somebody like Tom Diamond, who agrees that Trump has been an awful president because he's got that cachet of being the, you know, the leader of the conservative thing. So that's the deal. All right, I'll recap it. What did I say? A 16-point lead in the election? Yes, 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 yes. It's 18 after the hour. A little birthday music. This woman's name is Solange. She is, well, she's Beyonce's sister, but let's let her sing her own thing here.
I read it away. times I don't wanna feel those metal hands. Yeah, it's like grains in the sky. Sometimes I don't wanna feel those metal hands. I tried to run it away. Thought in my head be feeling clearer. I traveled 70 states. Thought moving around make me feel better. I tried to let go my lover. Thought if I was alone then maybe I could recover. To write it away or cry it away.
Don't you cry it, babe.
Yes, ma'am. That is Solange Piaget-Knowles, also known mononymously. I didn't even know that was a word, as Solange. She is just punched it up. She's an American singer, a songwriter, record producer, performance artist, and she's got a birthday today, and I like her music. She's also Beyonce's sister. I don't know how that would work. Probably works in your favor up to a certain point, and then you get tired of saying yes. Anyway, that's so much. A song called Cranes in the Sky. At 23 after the hour here, it's the Pandemic Pirate Show from Chicago. It's the Bleat Network, bleat.network. And I think we're going to zip into a very long, well, maybe not long, but should we call it a comprehensive treatment of the stuff that blows up in the sky. Did you open your window last night? Well,
in neighborhoods across the country, the sounds of explosions.
Wow. Oh my God, it's huge.
Night after night.
It goes on all night.
And on some streets, what looks like total chaos as people shoot at each other wildly. Residents outraged that police aren't doing enough, protesting in front of the house of the New York City mayor and calling for a firework crackdown.
We don't sleep. You don't sleep.
Oh my God. Mayor Bill de Blasio promising a task force, including undercover officers, targeting all illegal fireworks.
So what do? We go at the suppliers. There'll be all sorts of actions taken, undercover buys, sting operations, finding where the supply is and cutting it off at the knees.
And police releasing this video from Harlem, trying to identify these men seen throwing a firework at a man sleeping on a sidewalk. Law enforcement officers also wary after being targeted by powerful and sometimes homemade fireworks during civil unrest. In Los Angeles, the sheriff says this year's pandemic has also built up a perfect storm of people with a lot more spare time, law enforcement stretched too thin, and the cancellation of fireworks shows. It could mean more commercial-grade fireworks out on the streets.
All the streets look like war zones where every block is competing with the next block over.
And the number of complaints compared to last year are astronomical. A 700% increase in Chicago, Boston up 2,300%, and New York up from around 30 complaints last June to now well over 6,000. While in San Francisco, emergency rooms already dealing with COVID-19 are now seeing more catastrophic injuries and amputations.
We're seeing people burned. We're seeing people losing extremities or fingers. We're seeing people with facial injuries.
And after you do those surgeries, you're driving home and you're still hearing fireworks.
That's right. I hear fireworks before I come to work, or fireworks going home, and I just hear them going off. And this is different than it has been in the past.
Peacock is streaming, launching, and free. Watch for free, upgrade for more.
What is that classical music that that guy just played after this horrible news story? You know what this is? You know Handel, right? Everybody knows Handel, the Messiah, Hallelujah. This is his other hit. This is called Music for the Royal Fireworks. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine sitting and watching a fireworks display a few hundred years ago? Well, that's how it started. They think that fireworks have been around since the 2nd century BC. Someone tossed a bamboo stalk into the fire and it exploded sometime during the period, first century AD. Some Chinese alchemist came up with a mixture of potassium nitrate, sulfur, and charcoal to produce a black flaky powder that he called gunpowder. Fireworks made their way to Europe in the 13th century. By the 15th century, they were widely used for religious festivals, public entertainment, And that's what we're hearing here. You were asked not to throw things at the other people wearing the powdered wigs. Italians were the first Europeans to manufacture fireworks, and European rulers were especially fond of fireworks to, quote, enchant their subjects and illuminate their castles on important occasions. If I had a castle, I'd do the same. Early U.S. settlers brought their love of fireworks from them to the New World, and fireworks were part of the very first Independence Day. Next Saturday is the 4th of July, and what? Oh, that's funny. It just stopped. Handel just stopped. You probably knew that John Adams, the very second president of the United States, predicted that when we celebrated the 4th of July, that we would do so with pomp, parade, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this country to the other. He's talking about fireworks. So what happened? Now, let's talk to my hardworking producer who is standing by there. Sparks, we need a new name for you today. Sparks is probably the wrong one. Oh, how's it going? Any wounds overnight? I wasn't kidding. I said, we don't need fireworks sound effects. You just open a window in Chicago after about 7 p.m. and it's there. So, yeah, you live on the South Side, and it's crazy.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, there's a lot of fireworks here.
Yeah, when is that? I mean, it always warms up before the 4th of July, but yesterday, the day before, last week? How recently here?
Yeah, well, yesterday, but really 2 days ago, I think, it was, like, really, really rampant.
Yeah.
And until I think about 2 in the morning is when they actually stopped.
Oh, man.
But it was crazy. I literally couldn't sleep. I was, I was just up and just felt like I had insomnia or something.
Well, you know, that's exactly what's going on in New York City, where everything is always, crazy and loud. The bunch of people marched to Gracie Mansion. That's where the mayor of New York lives. De Blasio enchanted, if we can't sleep, you won't sleep, right? Because they're not cracking down enough in New York. So, yeah. You know, I just don't know where to start with this, Sparks. A couple of things here. You know, when I was a kid, We just played with everything, you know. I think you know that we did a comedy show, and I talked about dangerous toys. Sparks, I had a firecracker blow up in my hand when I was a lad. It did not take my finger off, but it certainly could have. And, wow, you know, what were we thinking? So that goes way back there. Today, I think what we just say that fireworks complaints are up like 700% in Chicago. And somebody sent me this here. I'm going to read this here. Maybe cities across the U.S. are too quiet now. That's why people are lighting up the skies and making noise. This is like a metaphorical representation of the unrest that the cities in particular have been facing these past months. Everything from violence, increased unemployment, outrageous statements by our leaders, civil unrest, social isolation, are things that we are all having to deal with. The noise doesn't stop there. This might just be another way for people to try to be heard, or it can just be people trying to have a good time. I think it's essentially a combination of both. Another chapter of this paradox of the year 2020. Sparks, did you write that?
Yeah.
This, you're fired as a producer. Get a job as a writer. You do a good job. So a couple things that you said here that I think are exactly right. Another way for people to try to be heard. What about it? I mean, nothing louder than a firecracker. These people, you know, when you see these videos and the soundtrack of what I just played, this is like angry, you know, this is angry stuff going on here. Was it scary down there? I'm sure it was. It had to be.
A little bit, yeah. I think it got kind of scary just when, like I did tell you, at one point those were not fireworks anymore. They were actual gunshots, yeah. And I heard I heard people screaming literally just to get to their cars.
Oh, man.
I live in a residential street, and then all of a sudden at night there were a whole bunch of cars here. They're not our cars. They come from somewhere else.
All right, stop. I want to get that. I know where you live. Sparks lives in Back of the Yards, which is a neighborhood in Chicago. So tell me again, what? A bunch of cars that were not from the neighborhood? Describe this whole incident. Give me they showed up.
Yeah.
When was this?
Yeah, which is fine. You know, people are having a block party. They're having a good time and whatnot.
Right.
And then, you know, I did hear a couple times people yelling like Black Lives Matter as they split the fireworks and whatnot.
Yeah.
And then later, literally like 15 minutes later, you hear like a string of gunfire just, and I'm like, what in the world? At first it's like maybe it is fireworks, but no, there was too much commotion. And then after people literally started getting in their cars and just zooming off.
Jeez.
Like you heard the beeping and everything. You heard people like beep beep, like get out of here, let's get out of here. And it was like it was crazy.
You know, Sparks, I want to tell you that you just outed yourself as an urban resident, because I think the average person cannot tell the difference between fireworks and gunshots. So sad that you and perhaps I can. So your conclusion is people were partying and then the gunshots, were they just firing off, firing their weapons to make noise or shooting at each other? You know.
No, it was too far away for me to be able to tell. It was like really close, but I couldn't tell just looking out the window. But I think it's a group of people. You know that some people unfortunately are not from the neighborhood, and they're coming here to have a good time and whatnot. And you know, in Chicago sometimes we still kind of have the laws of the street, so if they see that you don't belong here, unfortunately you are going to have people that come out with guns and are just like, what are you doing here? And
So that's what you thought was happening, that the gunfire was directed at the people that come into the neighborhood, not the... I'm trying to figure out who you thought had the guns, the people that came into the neighborhood or the people that lived there and wanted them to go away. Both? Either?
Yeah, probably people that honestly wanted them to go away.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's okay to try and have fun, but there's a point when it does get to be, like, you're a nuisance here, And some people are a little bit outspoken, and some of the wrong people have guns, and if they use them, they use them.
Yeah. I'm gonna play the Royal Fireworks again behind us here, Smart, so we can line it up here. Do you have a powdered wig you could don for us?
Nah, my hair feels like a powdered wig sometimes, so I can't control it.
So, all right, here's my story from a couple of years ago. I am broadcasting, as we know, from the north side of Chicago. I don't need to be specific, but in the general vicinity of Lincoln Square, not so far. Anyway, we lived and continue to live here in a three flat. There are no open fields around us. So when you have fireworks, they're quick. So this was several years ago that I remember the worst. There's an alley right, it's like 100 feet from where I am. Like if I turn on the mic for the birds, you'd hear them. They're in the alley, all right? So a group of people had a fireworks display that went on for hours. And these were amateurs, and this isn't across the city. This was literally, you could see it out the window. So, Sparks, you've been over to the studio here. I have a garage. All right, I'm seeing flaming stuff hit the garage roof. Our dog, whom I will call Ollie, was absolutely terrified. I've never felt sorrier for an animal. I finally brought him in, and I locked ourselves in a bedroom, and bah, 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 bah. Anyway, a lot of people, everyone who has PTSD that's been in combat to autistic people, these noises are not so good for them. So that's one of the things that you wanted us to talk about here.
The one thing that I actually started thinking about too was like essential workers, because it's some of the people that are out there and lighting up the skies and whatnot. It's also because we're not working right now.
Yeah.
So you have time on your hands.
Sure.
You have a certain amount of money, and if you're spending it on fireworks and you have the time, you're going to do it.
Yeah.
But I was mostly also thinking about my mom, because it's like she is an essential worker.
She works in healthcare.
For there to be fireworks until 2 a.m.
Yeah.
And her having to wake up at like, 4:30 in the morning to go to work.
Sure.
If she's not getting any sleep, then I'm just thinking, how is she going to be performing at work?
Well, exactly. I don't know. I wish that I knew more than I do about fireworks. I can tell you that, again, back in the day when I was a kid, illegal fireworks, it was always somebody's uncle. What do you call it? Black market? He'd show up. This was the guy, and he's going to go out and do his thing. And as I said, some of the firecrackers, filtered down. But in general, the stuff that hurts people is not legal. I just dropped the – hang on, Sparks. I just dropped – let me pull this up here. I printed off what is illegal in Illinois, and it's just about everything. About everything. Even sparklers now, we used to think those were safe, but they burn at such a high heat that those are now banned. So,
Yeah.
But you know where you can get fireworks? Indiana, where I grew up.
Indiana, Wisconsin, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, even closer. The Dynamite Fireworks Store in Hammond, Indiana. Call them up. The Uncle Sam Fireworks Store in Hammond, Indiana. Open soon. They're open at 8 a.m. Call them up. Crazy Kaplan's Fireworks in Whiting. They're closed, but they're going to open up at 9. I'm serious. Call them up and ask them what do you mind? do you mind not selling any of that stuff to bring it across a straight line? Anyway,
okay.
So this question, I was reading all the news stories today, and they're saying, we don't even know where people get fireworks. There it is. So, yeah. All right. Let's talk a little bit more about this. Hey, Sparks, I like loud rock music, but I don't want to stand next to a speaker. I like fireworks, but, you know, we have to maintain some sort of a distance. And so, anyway, you know, what is the, spit this out, what is the Pyrotechnic Use Act? I was just about to print that. Is that what I was referring to? It bans the sale, possession, and the use of all consumer fireworks.
That's part of the act.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm summarizing. Now some of the stuff that you can buy elsewhere, that's another problem, you know, bring it across state lines. Anyway, firecrackers, bottle rockets, Roman candles are they're legal in some states, but not in Illinois. And on and on and on and on and on. So, oh, boy, I'm exhausted. I'll go to bed now. Wait, I can't. I can't sleep with all the fireworks. You know who Jeff Beck was? You ready? It's his birthday along with Solange. It's a big birthday party. Here we go. Close the window. I'll talk to you in a while here.
Perfect. Thank you.
That's a take on a famous classical composition. You probably know, the Bolero by Maurice Ravel. Dude It Up by Jeff Beck on his birthday at 16 before the hour. We're on a slight delay here. That's why I sometimes don't. This guy can't even read a clock. I know, but we're trying to make it a little more accurate for you. So, that's the deal on fireworks for now. You know, I don't know what to tell you here. There's a couple of other stories I was going to just, knit on. An Ohio-based fireworks company called Phantom Fireworks has seen sales increase in stores across the country between 2 and 400%. Ohio, what about it? Ohio, what about it? Maybe knock, knock. I don't know. I'm gonna throw that out there. From the Hartford Police Department in Connecticut, we've been receiving upwards of 200 calls a day in regards to fireworks in the city. And they, again, say those with PTSD, babies, children, the elderly, pets, have to endure the late night noise. And Sparks mom's got to go to work. So, all right. I always say be your own role model. I don't have an easy one for this. We have to be the role models for everyone, and that's about that. So, that's the story on the fireworks. I hope that by next 4th of July, the fireworks will be in the hands of the people that will not blow off their fingers by lighting them. So, something quick here. Well, a couple of news stories. By the way, someone asked me what the deal is on taking incoming phone calls. Between 9 and 10 a.m. Central Time, I absolutely have a phone line open here. It's 773-907-0724. I don't have a call screener here, but one of the buttons will light up, and if I see it, I will dive over the console and put you on the air. So if you got something to say about fireworks would be great or anything, 773-904-07. Did I do that wrong? 773. You're fired. 773-907-0724 to reach the studio with whoever the host is by the time you ring in on that. So this I thought was one of those stories that I want to know more about, but don't have any more information. And all again, who plays cards against humanity? Yeah, do you? Well, I know a bunch of people up here, and let's see here. I know a family in Skokie that plays cards against humanity, and I know a family in Corpus Christi, Texas, that I happen to be related to. They also play cards against humanity. Did you know who Max Temkin was? He co-founded the group, Cards Against Humanity, the company. He stepped down from a company amid accusations of a racist and sexist culture in the Chicago office. I had no idea. I'm going to tell you something right here. I don't know what he did, but I'll read you what we had. The company posted a statement on its website Tuesday announcing that Temkin, T-E-M-K-I-N, resigned June 9th following, we've been busy. We didn't know. Following an internal investigation into social media posts by former employees about a toxic work environment. Many of the complaints centered around Temkin, who led the Chicago office, the company said. The company said in a lengthy statement, Max Temkin stepped down and no longer has any active role at Cards Against Humanity. You know, I'd like to think that they're entrepreneurs that aren't complete nuts. Founded through a Kickstarter campaign in 2010, Cards Against Humanity has carved out a successful niche. This is the Chicago Tribune. With a popular party game known for politically incorrect, cutting-edge humor, the game grew rapidly from a basement hobby project into a thriving company. They have 18 full-time employees. That's breaking news. And a substantial influence among Chicago startups and the gaming community. Temkin was one of 8 co-founders and the face of the irreverent company. So, anyway... What did he do? I don't know. I don't know. Pick a card. I'm sure it wasn't good. Cards Against Humanity. Somebody just woke up and said, whoa, 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 whoa. No, it's all right. Max is gone, but the cards are still there. Your deal. 10 before the hour. I'm gonna grab something real quick here. Talk about parents who embarrass their children. And I think that's about the worst thing that you can do, frankly, as a parent, is to, it just is. So we had a famous father embarrass his children, and one of his children, his son, took to the social media yesterday to defend his dad. I'm talking about President Orange Hair, the current outgoing president for the moment, number 45. I think everyone has seen this picture of him walking across the grass after, I think he was getting off the helicopter after he'd come back to Washington. Anyway, this is after this unbelievably unsuccessful thing in Tulsa. And he didn't have a tie on. He looked disheveled, and he just looked like a tired executive. And the thing is, he never looked that way before. I think that's why the photo made news here. And then Donald Trump Jr. had to say, everybody looked at this picture and said it was just another indication that the wheels are off the old wagon. Anyway, he said, for the last few decades, we've watched presidents appear in certain places, jacketless, sleeves rolled up. It was for show, a fraudulent attempt at connecting with blue-collar workers. I'm going to stop there. Trump never worked a day in his life that I'm aware of. Some of these people that run for office have. This picture is not a fraud. This is the picture of President Orange Hair with the untied. The left is attempting to use it as a negative. This is the look far too many of us that have worked a night shift. Please, or a 48-hour shift. Bring it, Don. Bring it, Don. This is the look far too many of us that have worked a night shift or a 48-hour shift or a third job are too familiar with. You know the best thing that I ever heard about Trump? Chicagoans, tune in. What is the first thing that happens to you in the middle of the winter? You go out and what? And you got to start your car in the cold. Am I right? Someone pointed out that Trump has never gotten into a cold car in his life. And neither is Donnie Jr. there. So anyway. So he says that what Dad was saying, I've been working my butt off. I had to clean it up for the American people. Good old-fashioned exhaustion, born of love. Bah, 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 bah. Anyway, how embarrassing. How sad. How sad. How'd you like to be one of the kids? You know what? Whatever is happening to you today, your parents, alive, dead, elsewhere, I don't know. It could be Trump, you know. Your sister could be Ivanka. Don Jr. could be calling to ask you to help him with his homework. Eric, the oddly unsmart Trump, could be calling you, but it's not going to happen because none of those people are your family. So anyway, I'm looking ahead. We started the show today talking about, the inevitable juggernaut of the electoral process, simply getting this guy out. And you know what? Are we done? No, absolutely not. Can I predict some of the crazy stuff that they're going to come up with to try to pull it out of the fire? I cannot, but I wouldn't put anything past them. As we try to figure this out, this is all. I realized that now they're playing. Now the Trumpsies, they want sympathy. What? You picked on my dad. He was tired. I do not feel sorry for you, Donnie Jr., and I don't feel sorry for your dad either. I feel sorry for all these people that have been harmed, disadvantaged, and otherwise abused by this guy whose idea of a work day is sitting in a bathtub watching himself on Fox News and friends congratulating himself. So that's what I think about that. All right. Did I mention the good news? He's down 14 points. Or is it 16 or 14? I think it's 16. It's moving so quickly. Anyway, he's down at 16 points. So we'll be done with him. But hang on. Every time I mention anything like that, I want to hasten to add, he ain't going away by himself. We need to vote him out of office, and that means we need to vote. So if I nag anybody that listens, this is the only thing I'll ever ask of you. I mean it on this show. Please register to vote. You can figure it out, because if we don't do it, you know, then what? You tell me. So that's the deal. All right. Thus endeth a Wednesday. Please be careful. I mean it. I don't know how to tell people not to get into confrontations with their neighbors, since I'm resisting that urge myself. I have a shovel. Don't make me use it. But let's just try to keep it cool here. And these fireworks. One thing, you know, maybe they'll run out. How many could you have? Oh, you got more? No, no. They will be done with us soon. So, be well. And this widecast was produced by Natasha Rodriguez in Chicago. Have the best day you can. I'll see you tomorrow.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white. The bright, blessed day, the dark, sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They're like much more than I never knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself.